Recording.
Yeah, what's up, guys? It's Kate. This is Date Fails. Oh my gosh, this is very exciting. I haven't had a female comedian on in so long, and you, I gotta tell you, it's very rare for me to, I'm trying to adjust the mic for people at home. There we go. It's so rare for me to meet a girl who I just vibe with like instantly.
Hell yeah.
And you and I did a show together in Vegas at, what's the name? Backstage Billiards.
Yep.
Or Backstage Bar and Billiards. Yep. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Which is owned by my friends Ava and Big Daddy Carlos. Big Daddy?
Big Daddy.
Dude, this couple in Vegas, I'm giving them a shout out because their place, it's called Backstage Billiards, and it's a music venue. It's in, it's on Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas. This couple is the dopest married couple I've ever met.
They're so, and what's so crazy is they're so opposite. Like, Ava, like, doesn't drink or do drugs, and Carlos is like, fucking yeah.
Carlos was the, in, like, the, what do you call it? He was in the residency band at the Viper Room back in the day. He was, like, the lead singer of a band. This couple, they look like, she looks like,
they're like, she's like Elvira. She's like sexy Elvira. She's like Ed Hardy Elvira.
I was going to say that, like Dita Von Teese mixed with Elvira, Ed Hardy. That's great. Mixed with Ed Hardy. For real. And Big Daddy's like Narcos meets rock and roll meets WWE.
Yeah.
Right? Like he would be the best wrestler in WWE. This guy's like this huge, massive, tattooed party guy with a cowboy hat.
Like a piercing through his nose. Do you ever see All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Yeah.
You know that crocodile that like comes and like saves the dog when he like goes through the water part?
Oh,
and he has like that bone through his like nose. I was like, that's Big Daddy Carlos.
I can't believe you just referenced All Dogs Go to Heaven. I just downloaded that the other day.
It's so good.
Oh my God. It's so good. People, so good. See, I don't know how old my listeners are, but I think my main demographic is 24 to 32 or something like that. So you won't know what that is.
You should know what that is.
You gotta get, dude. Wait, I don't know how old you are.
I'm 34.
Oh, okay. So you're a little bit younger than me, a few years. Do you know Flight of the Navigator?
No. Tell me more.
Okay, you got to watch this movie. Okay. It's so awesome.
Is it a cartoon or like?
No, it's not a cartoon. It's a movie with real people in it. Mm. What do you call that?
It's like a real life movie.
It's a real movie.
Yeah.
It's a fictional.
The humans. You
movie.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah. With human actors. And no, it's about this kid that gets abducted by an alien when he's very young. And then he basically gets dropped back off on Earth. And, like, he feels like he's been gone for a day, but his whole family aged, like, 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they want to do all these experiments on him.
Okay.
And he's like, I don't want to be here. I feel weird. So he wants to go back to the aliens.
And because those are his people now.
Yeah, and he became friends with the alien and the UFO.
Wow, and let me guess, there's a girl that he met on Earth, and she changed her mind. He's like, oh, now I like her, and now I want to be a human again.
No, love but is we real. could write that. Yeah, okay. love is very real.
It's so guys. Real.
Love is the realest power. I actually do think love is it real.
Is. I'm it's just not, real hard to find.
It's real hard to keep going.
Yeah. Because you have to, I think people think that it's like, love isn't just the other person that you have. It's like, you constantly have to keep it up with yourself. Like you have to love yourself. You have to like love what's going on in your own life. You have to like love what you're doing and also love the other person. So it's like, it's just constant work.
You have to really think you're the shit.
Yeah.
To have someone else think you're the shit.
Absolutely.
Because when you start to doubt yourself, then suddenly you're like, I need someone else to validate me. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do comedy.
Yes, because we're like, well, I'll just get it from laughter. You know,
it's that'll real, be something. Though.
Yeah.
Okay, so I should introduce you. Yes. This is so unprofessional. We've been on, I don't know, 5 minutes. Okay, I met this girl in Las Vegas doing a show. Steve Byrne put the show together. I think Ahmed was on it.
Yeah, Gary Cannon.
Gary Cannon, who's hilarious.
Yes.
Gary Cannon is like this short, kind of nerdy married guy with glasses who you would look at him and think he's like a chess geek.
Yeah, you're like, he's chubby, he's gonna be chill. But you're like, Gary's a savage.
He is so fucking funny yeah. and amazing at roasting.
Oh like, my God, it's so good.
I went out with him and Steve Byrne in Vegas one night, and I swear to God, I've never laughed harder in my life.
Because they just go at each other.
They're so mean to each other.
Yeah, and they both look like dorks because, like, Steve is, like, Asian in a suit, and Gary's, like, chubby with glasses, and you're like, you guys, and they just roast each other, and you're like, oh, shit, should I be in the room right now?
Yeah, but Steve looks like he might have money, and he's kind of cute. And like, we went to a strip club one time.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was me, Steve Byrne, Gary Cannon, and I think Adam Ray.
Okay.
We all went to a strip club. I was like the superhero night because we were out in Vegas and I was like, yo, I got a hookup at this strip club. I can get us like table service probably for free. And they were like, no way. And I got us a limo, well, like party bus there and shit. It was so funny because strippers target the nerd.
Yeah, they're like, he works in Simi Valley, or what is it? Not Simi Valley, Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Simi Valley, same thing.
Simi Valley is like all drugs and races, but whatever.
Same difference, whatever. I mean, so is Silicon Valley, if we're honest.
Right.
But the strippers are like, that guy looks like he probably isn't getting laid easily, so he'll pay the most. Mm-hmm. So the whole night, like Steve was like low-key paying strippers to go up to Gary, and everyone was talking shit to him like, bro, all the strippers think you can't get it. He had no idea. It was amazing.
So perfect.
But anyway, we did a show in Vegas together, and it was cool because you meet a lot of girls in comedy who, you know, I mean, there's not too many women in comedy in the first place, but a lot of times when you meet them, I don't know, they can be like competitive right away or have like kind of a jealous vibe or it's just weird.
Standoffish.
Yeah, or maybe they heard shit about you like Kate Quigley's a whore or whatever and they're
like, sorry, I have big tits. What do you want me to do? What am I going to fucking waste them and not show them? Come on.
Well, I'm not showing them today, but yeah.
I've been looking.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I know. She told me before the podcast.
I was like, I'm sorry. Like,
yeah. Thank you. I'm so grateful right now. I'm at the age where if anyone compliments my body at this point, I'm like, do you want to see more?
You're like, I could do anything you want. Cartwheels.
Yeah, literally. But anyway, you were a girl that you can just tell when you meet a chick who's like supports other women. It's really funny. You were so funny. Your set was hilarious and you're hot.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome. And so when I met you, I really liked you. And then my friend Ava, who owned the venue, Ava and Big Daddy, she pulled me aside and was like, you should really make friends with Mona Ray because I think you guys would get along. And that vouch meant so much to me. That's like the godfather, like anointing someone. Yes. Like I was like, oh my God, this girl's the shit. What? So I've been wanting to do this for a while.
Hell yeah.
And then I saw you have a podcast.
Yep.
What's yours?
The Shamic Podcast.
What is the Shamic Podcast?
So it's basically a combination of shaman and comic. And it's basically where I like spiritual shit.
But me too.
But as a comic, I feel like people are like, you can't combine the two worlds. So it's basically me combining the two worlds, translating spiritual shit, but as a comic.
I love that.
Yeah.
I go to a shaman.
You do?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Hell yeah.
In Palm Springs, the guy's amazing. Yes. Supposedly, he's gotten like all these rock stars sober.
Hell yeah.
Obviously not me.
He needs to work harder. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's so cool. I'm so into that.
Yeah.
So anyway, everyone, Mona Ray Martinez.
Hello. Ooh. Yes. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy that you came. Yeah. So, all right, let's just get into it. First of all, where are you from?
I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm from like the trash part too. Like I'm not from the suburbs. I'm from the part where like it's sketch down here.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't actually been to Buffalo.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
Wait, you never performed at the Helium in Buffalo?
No, I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah.
Oh, is it Funny Bone? Or Helium.
Whatever. I think it's a Helium. Yeah. No. I haven't performed there yet either. But they'll love you there. Like, it's a really fun city. It's just like one of those places where it's like people, it's cold there all year. The bills constantly
all year?
Lose.
Really?
I mean, even in the summer, it's cloudy. It's just like,
interesting.
It's depressing. Just one of those places.
The depressing place.
But people are like, we're not going to make it depressing. We got chicken wings. We got beer. The Bills keep losing and we're going to just make things happen. They did very great.
Weren't
this
the Bills
year.
Good this year?
They were.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Josh Allen. Thank you.
I don't know.
That's a quarterback. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm such an idiot. And I like football.
I don't know football. I just know Bills.
That's I know it. Rams and Browns a little bit and a little Dolphins just because I have, you know, I dated a guy who loves the Dolphins.
Either gonna
so
be like, I
had to talk shit.
I dated Dan Marino. No big
deal. I dated
deal.
Dan Marino. Yeah. No biggie.
No biggie. Yeah. It was a thing.
And also that new guy, Tua, whatever. Yeah. Tua. Yeah. Yeah. I'm dating him.
You got to do what you got to do, you know.
Yeah, I'm dating the whole NFL, actually. So let's see who proposes first. Wouldn't that be a great TV show? The Bachelorette of single NFL players.
Yes. And then like they have to like their stand, like they get dates like as their stats get better. You're like, oh, like you dropped a pass. Sorry, this week you don't get to talk to Kate.
Yeah, right. Like as if I would be that Bachelorette. They'd pick like Zendaya or whatever that chick's name is.
But she doesn't like sports. You like sports.
I mean, how do you know she doesn't like sports?
I don't know that, but she's got so much shit going on. She can't be gorgeous and a model and she cool can. And like sports.
She probably does. You know?
Yeah.
She probably does. And she's going to marry Tom Brady when he leaves Giselle.
Yep. She's just right next in line.
That's horrible that I said that. No. I hope he doesn't leave Giselle. I'll feel awful.
No, they're like,
what do you think
forever.
Of Tom Brady?
I'm one of those people where I'm like, if he shows the numbers, then you get my respect. He's been to the Super Bowl 8 or 9 times and won 6 of them. So it's like, you can't deny that.
I think
he's
10
great.
Times. I think 10. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I think he's been there 10 times. I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like, you can't deny that. So if anybody's like, he sucks, it's like, what do you mean as you put another piece of pizza in your fucking mouth? What do you mean he sucks?
I love that you said that because I get so pissed when guys talk shit about anyone in the NFL. Like if you're sitting at home and you're like, man, they got to get rid of so-and-so. He's fucking trash. I'm like, really? He's in the NFL. Do you know how hard it is to get there once?
Right. You're like, that's like getting into, I don't know.
Show business.
Yeah, exactly. But at least in show business, you could just be like, and like, you know what I mean? And kind of just go through. But it's like, you actually have to catch the ball. You know what I mean? Or throw the ball.
Or tackle well.
Yeah.
Or be fast.
Right.
I'm with you.
You have to do something. So it's like if he keeps getting there with the best of them, it's like he's great. You might not like him or you might be like, eh, it's just fun to hate him because it's like he plays against my teams and they keep losing. Just be that guy. Just be like, yeah, I hate him because fucking I can't beat him. But don't say that he's not great.
Yeah, I'm with that. The same with show business, actually. You know what? I used to be someone who would talk shit about, like, I remember before I got into show business when I was like in high school or something, I would talk shit about Keanu Reeves. I thought he was the worst actor ever. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, he just bothered me. Like, every time I'd watch him act, I'd be like, he's so bad.
What was the movie that did it for you? Was it Speed? Like, what movie
was it? I loved him in Speed, actually.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock. You're like, whoever's with her, you're like,
he
can't lose.
He was so hot in Speed, too.
But they looked like brother and sister, though.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I was like, no, you got, come on. But I mean, I guess.
He was so hot in that movie. God, that was a good movie, Speed. Yeah. They're too young. My main demographic's probably too young.
Guys, Speed.
You gotta watch Speed. And Sandra Bullock is like, you know, I dated a comic who said to me once, he's like, you're hot, but you're not like 10 hot. You're like Sandra Bullock hot. Like, you're quirky. Like, you're pretty, but you're approachable. Like, no, but I like that. And it's true. Like, it's true, though. Yeah. It's like, you're not Pam Anderson, but you're like the girl that's pretty if she tries, but like tomboyish. I love Sandra Bullock.
I love Sandra Bullock. And I think both of you are gorgeous. So I'm like, I understand what people mean. Like, you're like, hey, you're approachable, but you're approachable because of your personality. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to be less approachable.
Yeah, you're like, I'm trying to just do this and hope that people just understand what that means.
I mean, it's just, I'm so friendly.
You are, yeah.
That, I mean, really, it's almost like every, I don't know how to be mean. I don't know how to leave a conversation.
Or like set boundaries. Yeah.
Yeah, like if a homeless guy gives me a really nice compliment, I'll keep talking to him. Like for a long time.
Yeah.
Today a homeless guy told me he'd rub my feet every night. Aww. And honestly, I almost gave him my number, but then I was like, how's he gonna call?
How is he gonna call? Yeah.
I thought about it.
But that's sweet of you. I think that's nice.
Is it? Yeah. Or is it sad?
It's a like, little honestly, bit of both, but
yeah,
things can be both.
I've given my number to homeless men. Yeah. I mean, in LA, you never know. Tomorrow they could be fucking Keanu Reeves.
Right.
You don't know.
You don't.
But I think it was maybe, I don't know if it was Bill and Ted or what movie it was that he was so bad in that it bothered me. But then I got into show business.
Mm.
And it changed everything for me.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how bad you think someone is or who their parents are, how much money they have, it doesn't matter. You have to have some level of some kind of, like, charm or talent or something.
Right. That people think that they can put money behind you and people will support it.
Yeah.
And when they fuck up, it's like, then you don't see that person anymore. You know what I mean? But if people keep staying around, it's like, you obviously are making somebody money.
They got something. Yeah. Right. And also, this business is mentally fucking brutal.
Right.
I mean, like, if you're in it, you know.
Yeah.
You could have 1,000 Instagram followers and 100 of them will be fucking leaving the meanest shit you've ever read.
And you're like, why do you follow me then?
I hate it, but at the same time, it's like, that's what I'm saying. If you last in this business and don't go insane,
right?
I just think you deserve to be here no matter how untalented I think you are.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, who is that specifically about?
I mean, there's lots of people, but we're not going to get into that.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. The show's supposed to be about dating, so let's just start with this.
Mm-hmm.
When did you lose your virginity?
Well, technically, I was like, I was raped. When I was really young. I mean, obviously.
Did you say I was raped?
Yeah, so that's like how I technically lost my virginity.
I remember that now. You do jokes about it.
Yeah.
That's why I liked you.
Yeah. I was like, you know, whatever.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's how you process your trauma.
Totally.
I do too.
And it's just like, because there's other people who've been through it. So it's like, sometimes people will be like, you can't talk about that. But I'm like, well, the joke's not for you then. It's for other girls who don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Why can't you talk about it?
Yeah.
Nothing's off limits to me if you're not being mean.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with making, you've been there. It's like, that's like being a black guy. You can say the N-word. If you've been raped, you get to make rape jokes, period.
Right. And especially if they're fun. Like if I'm just up there like.
Especially if they're funny.
Yeah. But if I'm just like, I was raped and it's your fault. You'd be like, dude, get her to go home, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, if you're like, dude, you're making light of it. And I usually make molestation jokes just because it's easier to say than rape.
I say assault.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. I say assault. It's like, we all say a word where it's like, but I do make rape jokes too. And like, sometimes it's like people like give me pullback and sometimes I fuck with the crowd. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, but it just depends on, I'm like, if I could take a rape, you could take a joke. Shut up.
That's hilarious. Yeah. And real also.
Right.
Okay. So then.
But when I really, you're like, so besides for that traumatic thing.
I mean, I count that not, but.
Yeah. I lost, not till I was 18 going on 19, and he's a drug addict who was found in a tree one time in the local news, you know, making good decisions.
What do you mean found in a tree?
He was like in somebody
what
called.
What kind of tree?
Like a tree fort.
Like a weeping willow or like an oak? A tree fort?
A tree fort.
Like a tree house.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a tree house. But it was somebody's a random tree fort that was not his. Somebody called the cops because they're like, there's some dude like passed out like in our tree, like our kid's like tree house. And it was the dude I lost my virginity to. And I'm like, hey, but like he lived in a suburb and I was like,
that doesn't really bother me, to be honest, because I like to camp.
So you're like,
or I could see myself like being a little drunk and I don't want to drive because I don't want to be irresponsible. I'm like, I could sleep up there tonight and leave before anyone notices. You know? So maybe, you know.
He took me to Red Lobster. Why did I think something like that would happen? That was fancy to me. So I was like, this guy's got it going on.
I don't want
to
make you explore your trauma and you can totally not talk about this. But like, can I ask you about the rape?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've never had someone on my podcast say they were raped.
Yeah.
And there's lots of people that have been raped.
For sure.
Who are probably listening to this, men and women. And I'm curious, how old were you?
6. Yeah. It's okay. Everything's fine, guys. Everything's fine.
That's not even, that's like, I don't, oh.
Because I know a lot of people, like, they're, like, drunk in, like, college or whatever. But I was like, I was sober. Owie. But but yeah.
Was it a family member?
No, it was my grandma's friend that they went to bingo with's grandson. Or not grandson, like grandson. Yeah.
How old was he?
He was like 16, 17.
Wow.
And he had a mullet, which I'm like, dude, so help me out.
So when you see guys with mullets now, I'm like,
I'll kill you. I'll kill you. Yeah.
Theo Bond, stay away.
You guys are trash.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God. It's totally fine.
I mean, yeah. I know you were six and you're now processed it, right. But did you repress that for any amount of time?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the first like 3 years, I was like, well, what the fuck was that? But as a kid, you don't know. I was just like, I guess like people do that to kids or sure. whatever. And then I learned like, no, that was bad. But then after that, I always make a joke where I'm like, I'm kind of, it sounds fucked up and I, whatever, but
it's
I'm
fine.
Like,
you're fine.
I'm always like, I'm not mad that it happened because it made me like
funny.
Yeah. It made me funny. And also I'm like, it made me like learn that I was like men. I'm like, you know, getting the attention from men, like I never wanted it. So I was like, I already had it. Like, it's not that cool. The whole sex thing, not that great. So right. It just made me study in school. I was like, I don't need to focus with boys. I was getting straight A's.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah.
Did you get a scholarship or anything like that?
No, I dropped out of college.
Okay. Well, so.
You know, just making good decisions.
But I get what you mean in a way. I mean, like, it's funny because, well, it's not funny. Nothing about it's funny, but we're comics.
But it is
so
funny.
It's all funny yeah. to us. Like, Donnell Rawlings gave me a belt. He sells belts. Yeah, and he okay. gave me, like, one of his merch belts.
Yeah.
And I sent him a text, and I was like, you know how dark comics are? When you gave me the belt, I was like, I'd never give a comedian a belt because what if that's the one they use to hang themselves?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want to be responsible. But, like, comics, I feel like our brains just...
Where we filter life differently. Like,
yeah.
there was a comic one time, we were both at the Improv, and his dad just died. And, like, he was, like, it was, like, 2 days later... And he was like, hey, like, when am I going up? And I was like, don't think just because your dad died, I'm putting you up any earlier. And he looked at me and he went, thank you. He's like, thanks for being a comic. Because it's like, yeah. everybody's like, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? And you're like, dude, if you're a comic, you just want to laugh and you yep. don't want people to treat you different and you don't want to be pitied. You're like, dude, it's okay. Like, bad things happen to everybody.
Yeah. And I think it's also part of, I know for me, like, that was part of why the pandemic was so traumatic because my life has been processing pain through jokes.
Right.
And not like, I hate when comics say stage time is therapy because it's not, as a comic, you shouldn't go on stage and do therapy. You're supposed to be funny.
Right.
But for me, turning the pain into jokes helps me deal with it.
For
in
sure.
a way
yeah.
And process it.
And it helps other people too because there's so many other people who go through the same thing. And when you guys both are laughing at it together and it's like, because say you have someone who has cancer and you're like, oh, this person has cancer. What are you guys just going to be like? He has cancer and we're just both sad and wah. Or if you start making jokes, you're all laughing about it. You feel better about it. It doesn't feel as scary to talk about it. You guys can have a real moment of being like, okay, like, how are we going to handle this? How are we going to move on from this? It's like there's realness. Once I always say comedy is like having hospitality in a conversation. Just 100%. If you give it to people, if you're hospitable or you have comedy, it's like it just makes everything smoother.
Well, and also it's like I mean, it's so stupid because like doctors save lives and whatever. But I really do feel like I've done a lot of shows where at the end of the show, someone will come up to me and say, my mom died of cancer and I haven't laughed in 4 months and I laughed so hard aww. Tonight. And, you know, or I've also had...
I love that.
I remember when I started comedy, I did a set one time. I mean, not first started because you have to be decent to be here, but
right.
I did a set at the Long Beach Laugh Factory,
hell yeah.
which is so hard.
Right.
That club is like, it seats like 700 people. And when it's not full, it feels like you're
torture.
Performing to no one.
Yeah.
yeah. And I remember feeling like I always bombed there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like a year or two later, I was at the Hollywood Laugh Factory. A lady came up to me on the street and she said, I saw you a couple years ago in Long Beach. And I remember thinking, oh shit, she's gonna be like, you're so much funnier now. Yeah. 'Cause I sucked back then. And she goes, you talked about how you were married too young and you had to start over in your 30s. Mm. And I'll never forget it because you made me feel so much better. Because I felt so, like That's what I feel like Hell comedy yeah. is for.
So absolutely.
When people are offended and shit by jokes, offended, like, yeah, we're going to fuck up and say a joke that offends some people.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we're doing that to try to figure out what to say.
Right.
That makes people
laugh.
This
is our job. I'm like, okay, so when you work as an insurance agent, I'm like, you don't ever get to staple the fucking thing to the thing and before you hand it in, or you don't fuck up the printer and now people don't have their shit on time for the meeting. I'm like, you fuck up. So your fuck up is different. Like, I was like, I've called the bank and gotten the runaround. I was like, somebody's fucking up over there. So we just fuck up and it's in front of a bunch of people. So I'm like, there's not one person who's perfectly good at their job hour to hour. Same thing with us. So it's like, yeah. If I do a joke that you don't like, it's not for you.
Yeah. And also, not to go on a tangent about this, we're going to move back to dating, but like, or whatever. But like, also, social media has changed everything.
Yeah.
Like the other night, I did a show. This is incredible. American Comedy Company in San Diego. Yeah. They're doing shows on the sidewalk in downtown San Diego.
Wow.
So you're literally on a downtown urban inner city. I mean, it's San Diego, but it's urban as shit.
Right.
Sidewalk performing. There's homeless guys going by. There's cops. There's yes. sirens. There's everything. And I'm doing stand up there, and somebody recorded my set and put it online. So it's like when you're doing stand up in that kind of environment, you're trying anything to get through it.
Yeah.
I might say something off the top of my head that maybe offends someone. It's not like a planned out.
Right. You're bit. Like, where you're like, comedy is riffing. It's crowd work.
It's whatever
it's
works. Jokes.
It's yeah. like, yeah. And when it's like, you have a toolbox, and when you're going through the toolbox, you're like, all right, I can't get it out with the hammer. Okay. I don't know enough tools to keep going with this metaphor, but I was like,
all she knows is hammer.
Yeah. I was like, Allen wrench. Yeah. Screwdriver.
What else is there? Drill.
The measure tape.
That's all I know. Yeah, drill. That's literally the only tools I know. It's true. So anyway, the point is we're just trying our fucking best. So leave people the fuck alone. I get so mad when people get like,
seriously, I get in arguments with people. For the most part, people are like support, because I do have like darker jokes, but I'm like, because they're my experiences. Like, I had a friend who committed suicide, and people are like, you shouldn't make suicide jokes. I'm like, yeah, I should.
You're like, I'm probably going to do it one day.
Yeah, I was like, that's for me. Sorry.
Me and my friend made a pact
that
if one of us wants to kill ourselves, we have to do it together. So we got to both be that low at the same time. But then we did plan out how to do it so it wouldn't hurt any of our friends or family. Like, it would seem like we just disappeared.
It's just like pressure, because it's like being comics. You're like, dude, I have to have a really great suicide note. It has to be funny and good, and I'm a procrastinator.
I'm not leaving a note. You're leaving a note?
Yes.
No, did you write it yet?
Well, I have to.
Let's write it now. What are we going to write? What is your suicide note going to say?
It's going to have a bunch of vocabulary that I've never used in my real life, but I want to try to prove that I'm smart.
There's got
to
be jokes in it.
Yeah, it has to be jokes.
Like at least 5 jokes per minute.
Yeah. I'm not going to fuck around about it. Yeah.
That's so funny. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't kill yourselves. And if you're going to do it in a way so no one ever realizes,
be cute about it, you know? Be cute.
Who is it that has the joke? I think it's Joey Diaz has a joke about it. If you're going to kill yourself, don't do it at someone's house because they got to clean up. Yeah. He has a whole bit about
it. It's rude.
Anyway, you're hilarious. Oh, all right. You. Well, so I'm glad that we talked about your rape. This is the word. Yeah. Last week we talked about Aiden having HIV. He has HIV.
Oh, okay. I love Aiden. He's fine, though. I did his show a long time. I don't know if he remembers me, but I did his show. He used to do a show in Koreatown, and it was at like some ice cream parlor in Koreatown on Western. And I did his show, but this is like when I was like a year into stand up, but he was like very nice. And he's like, I like you. You're funny. And I saw that he featured for you. And I was like, again, I was like, that's why we're going to sync up. I was like, cause we got a lot of.
He's my twin flame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
for real.
You know about twin flames? Hell yeah.
He is my twin flame. For sure. We are always going through the exact same thing the same time. It's crazy.
Wow.
But yeah, so he's HIV positive, which I've known forever, but he just kind of finally like came out about that, not the gay thing.
Yeah, he's
super gay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it was cool talking about that. And now we got to, I think that's so cool. So did you ever like, I'm sorry to keep going on
but fine.
For the people that have experienced this, did you ever like, how did you process that?
I process it by bullying a lot of other kids when I was younger.
So you had a lot of anger.
Yeah, I had a lot of anger. But it was like, I was a cool bully. I was like making girls like do, I'd make girls dance and like.
Dance?
Yeah, like I was obsessed with dance growing up. So I was like, I would make up dance routines and like everybody had to like be on their cue. And like that was like my thing. I would just yell at girls and it just made me feel better.
You're making me think I was raped.
Did you do the same thing?
Well, I didn't make people do dance, but I used to like my mom ran a daycare. God, I'm probably gonna get my mom sued, but like I used to make kids do like acting scenes. Like I would direct them and I'd make them make out, but they were way too young to be sexual. And I don't even know how I knew. I was like 8.
Yeah.
I'll bet I was totally molested. It would make sense.
Or, yeah, or it's like, I mean, I used to watch like Skinamax shit all the time when I was young. I was like,
really?
I didn't know it wasn't real porn until I was like 18.
It's not?
It's not.
Kind of. No. Softcore.
They don't, there's no insertion. Am I just teaching you this too?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You're right. Now that I think about it.
I didn't know that though. Because I remember the first time I watched a real porn, I was like, whoa, this is hardcore. They're showing a penis. And people are like, this is porn. I was like, yeah, but normally it's not. It's just the guy and the girl. And there's like a saxophone. And they're like, dude.
A saxophone?
Yeah.
What?
Was, like in the Cinemax.
On Cinemax?
Yeah.
I didn't get Cinemax till I was a grown up. And I still don't
You're
really.
You're missing out. Emmanuel.
I don't know if I have it. What is that?
It's like a girl. It's like this hot girl in space. And she just fucks everybody. It's like she's just in space and she just fucks everybody.
It's like
really
a Star
hot.
Trek.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Star Trek porn.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Krista Allen?
Krista Allen. Why does that name sound so familiar?
Well, she's my friend and we used to be super tight and then she like moved away and stuff. But like she was in some really huge cult following like Skinamax type movie. So all my guy friends, when I was like hanging with her all the time, were like, oh my God, Krista Allen. Yeah. I don't know. I thought you might know her.
Yeah,
I don't know
I'm sure was. If I saw a picture, because I was humping pillows at a very young age.
So was I. Max.
You were?
See, I had to be molested,
yeah, you probably
right?
were molested.
It's repressed.
Yeah.
If I do ayahuasca, it's going to come out.
Or hypnotherapy.
I don't know if I want to know. I tried hypnotherapy, but like my mind is too, I won't let people in. My walls are so, that's why when
That's
guys,
probably why you definitely probably were then. Because it's like if you're, no, it's true. It's like if you have really bad control issues with like letting go and stuff, that's usually because it's like when you weren't in control, something bad happened. And then so now you're like, nope, I can't do this. I can't do that because you just want to keep control to keep safe.
Well, I did find out that two people in my family molested other people in my family. So odds are.
Yeah. You got touched.
Whatever.
Kate.
It's all good. But that's why we're funny.
Yeah. Thank you.
You know Bonnie McFarland is, right? Yeah. Like her husband, Rich Voss, like he came to see, well, he was in Vegas. I was performing with Ralphie May on The Dirty at 12:30.
Oh, hell yeah. At Southwest. Or not Southwest, South Point, yeah.
South Point Casino in Vegas. Yeah, Have you ever done that show?
I know, but I did another show with Drew Lynch, actually, which was crazy.
Oh, nice.
No, because I was doing like abortion material and molestation material. And Drew Lynch, God bless his soul, he was on America's Got Talent, which is like for substitute teachers staying at home at night.
It's a little PG.
A little PG.
I could never be on that.
And neither could I. They would like literally be like, you.
Well, any girl who's funny can't pretty much be on those shows.
Right. And like I was doing my jokes and like literally in the crowd at one point, I was doing an abortion joke and everybody went, like that at once. I thought somebody fell. I was like, oh my God, somebody fell. What happened? And I'm like, oh, they're reacting like this because of my jokes. But then Dirty at 12:30 came on, or like was the next show after us. And I was like, oh my God, this is the show that I needed to be on.
Let me just give a shout out to the Dirty at 12:30 because it will come back if it hasn't already, but it is free. It's at South Point Casino in Las Vegas every Friday night seats at midnight, starts at 12:30. It is
awesome.
Amazing.
Super awesome.
Amazing. Because what happens is like all the headliners who are in town playing other clubs, they'll just swing through and do a set. So you could see
anybody.
Yeah. But I was there and one night I went up and I just happened to have a great set that night. Like really, I was in a good mood. I was probably drunk. I don't remember. But Rich Voss saw me for the first time and he went home and told Bonnie, man, this girl Kate, she's actually pretty hot and she's really funny. And Bonnie was like, she had to be molested. No, she said she had to be molested.
That's, yeah, it's usually, and it's like, it sucks, but it's like, yeah, it's true, man. It could be true. It's just true.
It probably is. Someday I'm going to try to figure it out. But like at the same time, I'm happy. So it's like, why?
Yeah.
Whatever. Who cares? If I was, thanks.
Thank you for bestowing the powers onto me.
You made me funny. Yeah. So when did you move to LA?
I moved to LA in 2006.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Wait, me too.
Oh, 2006?
Yeah.
Yeah. I moved. I wasn't doing stand-up then. This is embarrassing, but whatever. I did sketch and improv for 7 years.
So why is that embarrassing? Because I did that in Chicago.
Oh, you did? Oh, nice. Yeah. Because I think most there's just like, you know, that classic, like, you know,
comics are idiots. Comics think like improv is like low class comedy.
Right. But then I did improv and a lot. There's a lot of great improv comedians, but there's a lot of like, we think there's like hack stand up comics, but hack improvisers, it's like, whoo, it's brutal to watch.
It's true. I have to say that I did improv for years and I could never really like, because in any improv troupe, there's bound to be like two people who suck at improv, but they're still part of your team. And I don't know about you, but after I did stand up, like for years, I became a great improviser. I became a better actor.
For sure.
Stand up frees you up.
Yeah. And I'm happy I did improv first because I feel like I didn't have as much of a, it wasn't as hard for me to start stand up. Cause it's like, you know, some people when they start their first year, you're like, this is rough. But because I like, you know, had experience on stage and performing it, at least it wasn't like completely new to me. So it was a little bit easier.
Totally. I totally agree.
But you're like me, right? You didn't start stand up till you're, cause I didn't start stand up until I was like 27.
Oh yeah. I was like, well, when I first moved here in 06, I did stand up for a little while, but I was married.
Okay.
And I got to say that stand up is something that if you are with someone who isn't completely cool with you talking about whatever you want at the beginning, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You got to be free to talk about anything because it's like if you play golf or tennis or any sport that's super concentrated where the audience is not allowed to make noise. Stand up is like if any little thing comes into your head, like I shouldn't say that because it'll piss off my husband or whatever, it fucks you up.
Right.
So you got to be free. So
you have to, because it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, dude, stand up, if you're doing it well, you should be in a, like in a state where it's like, you're not like rehearsed. That's the best stand up is when you're like, yes, I have jokes to rely on, but you want to be free up there and
you got to be in the moment.
Yeah.
So in the moment, stand up is the best microcosm for how you should live your life.
Absolutely.
Because no matter what comes at you, you have to adapt.
Right.
You got to go with it. It might be great. It might be awful. But when you get off stage, you can't let it ruin you for the rest of the night. Or I remember it used to be if I murdered, I'd be in the best mood for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
Now it's like fun for 20 minutes and then life hits again. But that's how it should be. Like nothing should impact your future so much because of how you feel right now. You just got to go with the flow.
Right.
Stand up is everybody should have to do stand up.
One time.
Five, six times.
Yeah. Everybody should have to work in a restaurant. So anybody who has never worked in a restaurant, do it.
I agree.
Because it's like, there are so many people where I'm like, I will fucking gut you. Because I can tell that you've never worked in a bar and restaurant.
Yes.
And you think I am your personal little butler. And you don't realize that I have 80 other people in my fucking section right now. And I don't control the kitchen. I don't control the bar. I don't control the host. Like, you got to work at a restaurant. And you got to do stand-up comedy. And
like, and more than once. Because the first time is terrifying. And you... well, some people do fine. I feel like my first time I did fine. Like,
right. Because you're like on the adrenaline high or something.
Yeah. And also like I've been performing so long.
Right.
But like I feel like if you're funny, you'll bomb. Don't get me wrong. But you'll never bomb as bad as someone who's bad and not naturally funny.
Right.
Because even if you're bombing, if you're in the moment, you can find, like, if you are bombing and you comment on bombing, well, this isn't going well.
Right.
That's one laugh. At least you got one. Or, well, that was a new joke.
Yeah, you have to be present. And so many comics, I watch them and they're like not present with what's going on. Like say like some guy just farted or something and they just go on and they just start going to their jokes. I'm like, are you not going to talk about the thing that just happened?
It's like when I was in San Diego, the street performing.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys don't understand. Imagine performing on a downtown city street in like New York, not Times Square, but maybe like somewhere else in Manhattan. And a homeless guy comes by while you're telling a joke and like, fuck you, comedian, you suck. And you just ignore it and keep telling
your
joke.
It's awkward.
Like, the audience is like,
how are you not going to talk about that? You're the comedian.
Yeah, should we pretend that? But that's just like experience on stage, being right. yourself. But like the first time out, man, it would be funny to do a TV show where people do stand up for the first time in a place where there's definitely going to be like yes. distractions and see who can react.
Yeah.
It'd be a great contest.
It would be a very good contest.
Anyway, they're so bored. We're talking about comedy. Maybe they're not. I don't know. I don't know who listens to this. I know this. I got so many messages from people telling me about bad dates. And what's your worst date?
Yes.
So like you have a boyfriend now, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever, you've never been married?
No.
What's your longest relationship?
All of my relationships have never been more than 2 years.
Well, that's a pretty long.
Yeah, well, I know people who've been like together for like 6 years or whatever. And I'm like, dude, that's crazy. But I feel like I try to take it as a, where I'm like, I just know. When I know, I'm like, I'm not going to keep investing more time into this. Like when I know, I'm like, you are not in my future. I'm not going to just tag along to be like, well, I don't like being alone. I'm like, I'll figure it out.
That's a good point. I'm bad at dumping people. Are you good at dumping people?
I'm good at telling people when I'm just like, hey, man, because I wear my heart on my sleeve. It's very hard for me to fake if I'm not happy. It's so hard.
Me
like,
too.
Because I've dated like a guy that was like rich before or something. And I'm like, fuck, like, come on. But I'm just like, I just can't fake it. I'm like,
you want to like him because he's rich?
Yeah.
Oh, I've been there so many times.
Yeah.
Or like, I've dated so many guys. I'm like, this guy could make my life so much better, but the sex is bad. And yeah. I just can't fake. I can't. But also, like, you know, you're very talented. You're smart.
You.
No, but for real, like, when you know that, that's why, like, when people would be like, Kate's trying to fuck her way up, whatever. I'd be like,
no, you're like, then I would go fuck Bill Gates
exactly.
or whoever the fuck. You're like, I'm going to go for the biggest, most whatever.
Totally.
Like, come
I'll
on.
Fuck Elon Musk. Why would I be fucking these losers at
Seriously.
The comedy store?
You're like, dude, come on. Like,
yeah, but I always knew I'm talented enough and smart enough. And even if it's not show business, I'll always find a way to make it. Like,
right.
I'm not going to be homeless. And even if I was, I'd still survive.
Yeah.
Because I'm smart.
Right.
And you are too. So you don't, once you take that off the table,
right.
It's amazing how much guys lose, like, so many guys.
Power.
Yeah, because so many guys, that's really all they have to offer. And they know it on the inside.
Yeah, they have that Aladdin quality. Like, I'll show you the world. I'm like, I have my own passport. All right. I don't need, well, I just got my passport
that's
this
a good
year,
bit.
But still.
You should do that on stage. You do that?
No,
that's
but
funny.
I just got a passport, so I feel like bragging. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in my 30s and I just got a passport, but I have one now. Okay.
Good for you. Let's go to, where can we go with that right now? Mexico.
Yeah, Mexico.
We can go to Cabo.
Yeah, I've never been out. I've been to Canada, but besides that, I've never been out of the country before.
What? Really?
Yeah, I grew
we
up.
We should
poor.
Go to Tijuana.
Yeah,
I've never been.
To. Really?
It's a drive away.
Yeah. Please take
we
me.
We need a guy that's really big.
Yeah.
My friend Rampage. Do you know
Wait, the fighter?
Yeah.
I'm like, the UFC motherfucking Rampage?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, I told him I wanted to go to Tijuana, and he said, if you ever go, tell me, I'll come,
yes.
you know, play security. So
Perfect.
We could
Please.
Go.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun. Anyway.
So fun.
So, okay, so... You longest relationship two years. How many boyfriends?
I probably have had like 5 major boyfriends.
Holy shit.
Is that a lot or no?
Well, I was married 10 years, so you can't.
Because I feel like most, because I'm in my 30s.
What's a major boyfriend?
Like someone that you said I love you to.
Wow.
Yeah. So my first one was like 19. Then the second one was like 21, 22. Then I like went on a no boyfriend for a while.
How long was that?
That was probably like 5 years, like no boyfriend.
And that was the happiest time.
Oh,
of your life.
I was loving life. It was amazing. I had my own one bedroom apartment. And I was like, dude.
Cleaning up.
Yeah.
Did you have a lot of like one nighters?
See, here's the thing. I've actually never had a one night stand. I'm very like
That means you have fire pussy. They always hit you up after. They're like, bitch, that was supposed to be one night, but hey.
I've never had like a technical one, but I'm a type of person where it's like my friends always call me the queen of fling. But it's not necessary. Like, I'm a type person, like, I love, like, to get to actually know somebody.
Me too.
And, like, but I love the flirtation. I love the buildup. I love, like.
Girls love the buildup. Yes. Totally.
That's the most fun. Yeah. And, like, just, like, talking, like, all night on the phone for, like, 5 hours.
This is making me horny. Yeah. For buildup.
Yes.
I want buildup.
Right? Like, isn't that the best part? And you're just, like, you're in their bed, but you don't even have sex. And you're, like, what do you want to do? You want to just get, like, a pizza? And then you, like, stay up all night.
I've never done that. In their bed? No, if I get to the bed. I've never gone to the bed and not.
You know how many, there's probably a lot of men who hate me because like I've slept in their bed and never touched them. But I just.
How do you sleep?
Perfectly. I'm like, good night. And then.
Oh my God, I can't do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm scared they'll rape me.
I'm just like, sorry, good night. I'll kill you.
That's because you've processed your trauma.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Maybe. Where it's like, it's kind of like one of those, every man that I've been with has either told me that they think that I'm a closeted lesbian or that they're scared to make a move on me. So I'm like, whatever that means.
Oh my God, I get these. We're the same.
Yeah.
My therapist told me, are you sure you're not a lesbian? Like 4 times in 3 sessions. And then, yeah, I've had guys that I'll never make the first move.
Yeah, me either.
I just won't. But I also have only had, I mean, I had one-night stand, but even that night, I made the guy talk for like 4 or 5 hours. Like I had to get to know him. Yeah,
because you have to feel comfortable. I get it. Like I'm like one of my best friends, like she's, I don't know, she's probably with like 100 dudes, whatever. But she's one of those girls who it's like, you know how girls pretend to be sex positive, but really it's like, no, you just want love. But like, she's really like sex positive where it's like, she will fuck you and never call you, never talk to you, feel great about herself.
How does she do that?
Because for her, she can come no matter what.
So can I.
Really?
Well, unless he's gross, but then I wouldn't fuck him.
Yeah, but she can. So for her, cause she's like a boss ass bitch. So she has like a very high stress job. So she actually uses sex as a stress relief.
I could see that. So I could probably do that if I decided it.
Right. So she's like a real life Samantha, but I know so many girls who pretend to be sex positive and they pretend to be like, hey, like I'm just cool being casual. And there's nothing wrong if you are casual, but when you pretend to be casual, you're really hurting yourself because you're putting on this act and you can't really, you don't have the bandwidth to actually handle the consequences.
I agree.
But she's like, she will literally delete their phone. And I'm like, and there's so many times.
How does she meet them?
So she used to do dating apps, but she would go out to a bar and be like, that one.
I did that one time, but I didn't fuck him because he didn't have a condom. And my gay friend was in the living room. And I'll never forget, actually, I met him at Saddle Ranch.
Yes, as we all do.
I forgot about this. Jody Miller was with me.
Oh, hell yeah.
Who's a comedian.
Yeah.
And I had just like kind of gotten out of like my first boyfriend after my marriage. Mm. And Jody was like, Kate, you just need to have a one night stand. And I was like, oh, I don't, that's not, I don't do that. Yeah. She was like, no, we're going to go to Saddle Ranch. You're going to find a hot guy and you're going to fuck him tonight.
Yeah.
So we went, we found a hot lacrosse. This guy was actually a professional lacrosse player, which I didn't even know.
I love lacrosse because I'm from East Coast. If you're East Coast, you know lacrosse is what's up.
Did you know there's pro lacrosse players?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. So this guy was so hot. I forget his name.
Gotta be like,
doesn't matter.
Bryson.
Let's go with Bryson. So I'm with my gay friend. I hit it off with Bryson. This is in Hollywood, guys, by the Comedy Store. Bryson lived way over here in Venice, which I didn't at the time. So he wanted me to go home with him and I was scared. So I made my gay friend come with us. We get to his house. We go into his bedroom. He had an air mattress on the floor.
You're like, God damn it. I'm trying.
I mean, I really didn't care. I was like, one night stand.
Woo! Yeah.
And we start hooking up. And then I'm like, do you have a condom? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, I'm not fucking you without one back then.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Back then, things have changed. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was like, I'll go to the store and get one. And then he leaves.
He's like gone for like an hour and you're like, dude.
He's gone for like 15 minutes. In the meantime, my gay friend's like, can we get the fuck out of here? And I'm like, yeah, let's just go. And we're about to leave. And he comes back in. And here's the best part. He's like, I got condoms. I'm like, we're leaving. And he goes, do you guys want some free socks? He had some like sponsor that gave out like bless lacrosse socks, and he gave us socks.
He goes, "Do you want socks?" And you're like, "Sweetie, oh,
I don't even know how we got home because I don't think Uber existed yet. I think we called a taxi."
God, remember life before Uber?
No,
it was rough.
I see. For me, it was fine because
I used to drink and drive so much, which is not good. Don't do it. You know, play
in a LA though, you didn't have a choice.
Everybody
back then.
Did it.
It was either don't drink or don't leave your house.
Yeah, because it's like we would always be like, okay, one friend has to like stay as sober as possible. But it's like once you start drinking, the music starts going, you're like, whatever, we're gonna play bumper cars on the way home. Who cares? You
know? I'm not a big drinker, I say as I'm drinking, but I'm really not. Like, I'll nurse one or two drinks
you've been nursing
for the whole
that,
night.
Yeah, not judging you, but I'm just saying,
No, totally. But I mean, like, that's always how I've been. So I'm usually the safest one in the group. But then, if you smoke with it or if you take some mushroom, before you know it, like, you really shouldn't be driving.
Yeah. See, I've always worked in bars my whole life. So, like, I've always, like, well, and my dad was an alcoholic. So it's like, whatever. It's like in my blood.
Same.
But I'm always the type of person that's like, I like a whiskey. But what I've done is like, I don't drink and drive anymore. And you can be my witness.
Anymore.
Yeah. I was like, anymore.
She killed that 7-year-old, she feels awful.
Yeah. Since I killed that family, I'm like, sorry, you ain't going home for Thanksgiving this year. But I decided, I was like, all right, I'm going to at least be smart about it and not drink and drive. But it's like, I actually, since the quarantine is like when I've really like weaned off like drinking, but because it's like
you can't afford it.
Yeah. I was like, too. Ooh, Kate's bringing the booze.
Yeah, I hit her up. I was like, what do you drink? She's like, whiskey.
Yeah, give it to me. Yeah. But I'm like, but because I just like realized where I'm like, dude, I spend so much money. Like, when even if you're at a comedy club, because it's like we get it for free, but you got a tip.
You spend money.
Yeah, because I used to work as a bartender, and I'm like,
oh yeah,
if somebody gives me shit for free, I always tip like extra. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, and a lot of times it's like, yeah, I'm only having two or three drinks a night, but two or three drinks a night, five nights a week, it adds.
If you're
up.
Buying them, especially like at the comedy store, that's like, if you're paying for them, it's like $14 a drink plus tip. That's like $60.
Yeah, five nights a week, and it's just like because we're comics, we're waiting to go on stage. Somebody's bombing, it happens, we all bomb, but it's like you're just like, oh my god, I don't want to watch this. And so it's so easy to drink. And when I was
all you do is you walk to the bar and you go, this is on Bobby Lee's tab or whoever. Like, I just leave it on some Jim Jefferies tab. That's
exactly. No, but it's like, it's so easy to drink. So it's like, now during the quarantine, I was like, okay, like I could, let me just not do it. And
I gotta say, I did like maybe 3 weeks totally, completely sober, like, except I've been microdosing mushrooms, which I have to say
is amazing.
Really, really has helped my mental health.
I tell people all the time, I'm like, alcohol once in a while, for sure. When you're young, you'll figure it out. But when you get in your 30s, alcohol once in a while. But psychedelics are, that's nature's medicine.
Yeah. What's funny is like, I don't like Molly. I don't like acid. I don't like hallucinogens. I don't like to be way out of control, but like a little bite of mushroom each day, I'm telling you guys, like, my mood is way more stable. Stress hits me and I'm happier. I mean, I'm not obviously a doctor and I don't know shit about mushrooms.
No, but they use it. I follow. So there's this, if you guys want the science behind it, there's a company called MAPS, like looking up on Google Maps. Yeah.
MAPS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so they are all scientists and researchers. So they use it for the military. They use it for people with depression. They use it with people who have drug problems. And they've done all these studies, all this research for like over 40 years, showing that psychedelics have like, they have all the stats and whatever of being like, oh, this is like super beneficial because it just fires off different neurons in our brain. And it's like, it is life changing.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, guys, like, even if you're someone watching this who's like, I never touch drugs, drugs are bad, like, I never feel any effects. I never feel like I'm on a drug ever. I just notice over a couple weeks that if something bad happens in my life that normally would really stress me out or make me really manic, mm-hmm. I'm not having those symptoms right. So it's like, for me, I mean, I don't know, that and sunshine.
Yeah. Oh my God. Vitamin D is amazing.
Huge.
You have to do it.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, 10 minutes of sunlight on you.
Yep.
Dude, I just read this article. Have you ever heard of this? I just read this article about people who sun gaze.
Mm.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, I'm going to send you the article. I don't want to misquote it, but it basically was saying NASA confirmed this science that's been going on for centuries, which is, and don't go outside and look into the sun, okay? I'm not a fucking scientist, but basically it's like people who over time have made themselves immune to the harmful effects of UV.
Right.
So they start with like 5 seconds looking at the sun at certain times a day, then 10, then whatever. And over time, the UV makes them need less calories.
Wow.
So that like eventually they don't need food to survive.
Right.
But like NASA is starting to confirm some of the research. Dude, it's just crazy.
It's
man.
Real. Like, I mean, that's why I started my podcast with Shamik, is because it's like, I've always been like into spiritual stuff, but I never really like practice it. And like the last few years I started practicing it. And then I was like, dude, like when I meditate, like if you've ever done psychedelics, when I meditate, like I can see like colors and like light and like shit like that. And I'm like, the shit is real. And it's like,
It's real. It's 100%. Cause I'm such an empath.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what that was.
Mm.
And then I've done this podcast for years. And one time I like posted it and somebody replied to me and said, Kate, you're an empath. Look it up. I didn't know what it was. I looked it up. I was like, oh my God,
that's me.
That's my whole life. But once I knew what it was, I mean, if I walk into a room where there's a really dark person in the room, like say there's a murderer in the room.
Yeah.
I won't know that, but I'll know immediately like there's a
not
really
to trust the
something's
person.
Off. Yeah. It's crazy. So, and also if you absorb energy, like I feel like you probably do too because we clicked. Like I've been starting to just turn my phone off for like 3-4 hours and just get away because it's a lot to take on this past year with all the craziness. This got serious.
Yeah,
but
No,
that shit can fuck you up, man.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be alone forever. It's cool though. Anyway, all right. Let me think. We're going to end this with like a little, I'm trying to think of some stuff that could lighten the mood since I brought it so dark.
No, I don't think that's dark at all. We're trying to tell people like, hey, do a little bit of psychedelics. Like,
I think it's important.
Yeah.
Do you want to smoke? I have weed.
Yeah. I was like, it's great
so
for
much
you.
Weed right now. Yes. If you want some, it's all different kinds. Ooh. I'm learning about weed too.
Yeah.
I started smoking to help me sleep.
Wait, really you never smoked weed before this?
I always smoked, but like I didn't really know why or how. So I would smoke whatever someone gave me. I always hated weed because I thought it made me lazy.
Gotcha.
And then I started smoking with a purpose.
Yeah.
Actually, Joey Diaz kind of turned me on because I was on his podcast once. He gave me this stuff called like cookie crumble or cookie dough, some cookie weed. And it really was like, it really fired me up creatively.
Yeah.
So I started doing that. And then I got some like nighttime, what is it? Indica.
Indica.
Yeah. And then before I knew it, I was like, I like weed.
You're like, okay, I'm one of these girls now. Hell yeah.
Yeah. But weed mixed with mushrooms makes me so horny, man. It's crazy. I could masturbate and think I fuck someone.
Yeah. That's
and my dreams are crazy.
Yeah. It's. Anyway. I'm 100% with you. Yeah, I smoke. Yeah. Okay. I smoke at night to help me fall asleep. Same thing too. But I was the same where like I used to never smoke. Like I never, to this day, I've never tried coke. I've never tried, heroin, obviously.
Heroin.
Yeah. I was
me
like,
neither.
But like,
I'm open though one time.
Yeah. You're like, you know, just for once.
Like once
just
to try
fun.
It.
Yeah, yeah, for fun.
But if
like
I could not get hooked.
I was always scared of drugs my whole life. I was like, no. And then I tried psychedelics and I was like, oh, what was I so scared of? You know, because it's like, it's super helpful. You just do it in small doses. You don't have to go crazy. Just do it in a small dose and you'll be like, dude, love is real. Peace is cool. Everybody's beautiful, you know, and you're just like, okay, this is how we're all supposed to feel. So it's
have
cool.
you done ayahuasca?
No, but I've done DMT.
Okay, DMT is chemical though, right?
So yes, they have to chemically make it now, but it naturally produces in our body. So it only releases when you have a near-death experience. You could do it through breath work.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's have one after the podcast.
Yeah, I'm going to choke you.
Perfect.
Yeah, but I think that's like kind of why people do the thing. What is that called? Erotic.
Erotic asphyxiation. I like to be choked, but there's different types of being choked in sex that we could talk about.
Yeah. I don't like choke where you're like scaring me, but it's like kind of the choke where it just feel, I don't know what it is. Whenever I'm having sex and I know like I'm about to come, there's like a certain, like it's either like my legs have to be in a certain position or I have to have the person do a certain thing because it's like, it's almost like the pressure helps me release.
Well, it is like, so if a guy, so for the guys at home that like, if your girl's like, choke me and you're like, I might kill you. Here's the thing. Most of the time when a woman wants to be choked, she doesn't want to not breathe.
Yeah.
It's more about the pressure and the control and the domination of your hand on her neck. And also, even if you squeeze it a little, in your mind, you're like, I'm being choked. And you start to like hold your breath. If you actually aren't breathing when you come, it makes the orgasm more intense. That's why like some guys will really choke you. Yeah. I used to date this UFC fighter.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Man, he would like, I could put you to sleep in 8 seconds. He would just put me to sleep. Like I would come.
Good night.
Yeah. But when you're like, when you can't breathe and you come, it's more intense because you're, I don't know, I guess just because you're straining for breath or you think it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
I like the domination aspect in a weird way.
Yeah. I feel like I don't like to be scared at all. Like if I'm like having sex with someone, so I know like a lot of, I've had like rough sex, you know, like before where I'm like, okay, like let me see like how it feels. But then I'm also the kind of person where I'm like, I'm a dominant person, so I'm like, don't you fucking think that you could dominate me? Like, I'll get competitive about it.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, because I like a guy to dominate me to an extent, but then if he wants me to, like, call him daddy or say, thank you, sir, I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You should thank me, bitch.
Right. No, excuse me. Yeah, I'm the same. Like, I feel like the best sex is like when you genuinely just really, really like or love the person, because it's like you could have the most regular sex and be like, that was great. You're like, but we didn't even really do anything.
Yeah.
But
I've had sex with people I really love that was really not great,
right,
too,
oh, really?
Where I'm like bummed.
Really?
Well, like there was one guy I was so sure I was like so in love with. And in your head, when you're in love with them, you make the sex better.
Right.
But in hindsight, I'm like, he kind of sucked in bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the thing too, where it's like, have you ever met someone who you were not sexually attracted to, but then you had a good vibe with them that you became sexually attracted to, but then the sex was bad. And you're like, well, what
But then the
fuck?
Sex was bad?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, dude, I wasn't sexually attracted to you, but you were so cool that I became sexually attracted to you. Like my vagina got wet. But then now the sex was bad.
I wonder if that happens to men. Because women, it's like we might meet you and we're not really attracted to you, but then we start to like you. So we're like, we feel some chemistry. And then maybe there was one guy I made out with him sober and it was bad, but then buzzed, it was pretty hot.
Yeah,
then again, sober, not so good, but I liked him.
Yeah.
And then we had sex and it was like one of the worst sexual experiences ever.
Oh.
But I wonder for guys, if like liking you makes it hotter.
I don't think it makes it hotter. I think it makes it more, because like we're comics, so we talk to our comic friends all the time. And like men, there is a thing with men where it's like they are like females in a way where it's like, like if they have sex with a girl, like in the moment, they can kind of like zone out. But then after, as soon as it's done, they just feel like it's that Louis C.K. joke where it's like, you know, you lead with your dick and you're like, yes. And then as soon as you're done, you're like, oh shit, where am I? Like you feel like you just came out of a tornado where you're like, oh fuck.
Guys, after they come, have clarity.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, once I dated a guy who would never say I love you to me, except right after he came. It was always after he came, he'd be like, I love you, baby. I was like, oh, that's how I know he loves me.
Yeah.
Because it's after he comes. He's not trying to get it.
Yeah.
So I believed it.
What if they say it during?
I don't count that.
Okay.
I fucked a guy who like wanted me to tell him I loved him so he could come. Like that's what would like make him come. And I felt so uncomfortable.
Call your mom. Like, come on, call your mom.
I'm like, but I don't. Don't say that. I love you.
I love you.
And I'd be like, you know that I didn't mean that, right? But I don't know. It's just interesting. It's all so fucking fascinating, men and women. The whole thing. I could talk about it forever.
It's like, I think at the end of the day, I think we have like different vessels to like get us to a point of like happiness, like men and women. But I think we still have like the same goal. You know what I mean? Like,
what's the goal you think?
I think the goal is like everybody just wants to be themselves and be happy. You know what I mean? Like with whoever they're with. It's like you want to just have complete freedom.
That's the realest shit.
And be happy.
That is a real, it's like you want to be seen.
Yeah.
For who you really are, and they still love you.
Yeah, and you don't want to have to change, or you don't have to be like that. That's why I totally believe in like radical honesty. Like when you're in a relationship and people are like, I'm only attracted to you, there's nobody else that I'm ever, I'm like, stop it. Stop.
Don't lie to me, bitch.
Yeah,
it's we like, know.
We all know. It's like every human, even if you're a woman, you're attracted to other women. Even if you're not gay, but you're attracted to other men. If you're a man, you're. It's okay to be like, it's such a lonely feeling when you have to pretend like, I only am attracted to you. Only like, you know, want to do this with you. It's okay to be like, hey, sometimes I feel doubt with us, or sometimes I feel, you know, like I just don't want to have sex with you. Or sometimes I feel like you piss me off, whatever. It's like, you got to be able to have that honesty, because it's like, when you guys both go like, you know what? Like, I just don't like you right now. Like, you piss me off. And you're like, I don't like you right now either. And you're like, ugh, okay, thank you. Like, let's be, but just being like, hey, babe, like, everything's great. You're number one. Like, we're together forever. It's like, ugh, you're both just lying to each other.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. It's like, and also, I mean, I think a lot of times guys think, women are needy. Women are needy because they want like more attention or more compliments, or they want you to make them feel more
reassurance,
affirmation.
Yeah,
exactly. But the thing guys don't get is the more a guy affirms me and makes me feel like he's so sure about me, the more I'm down to let him be more free.
Right.
Like if I know you are totally into me,
right,
I'm cool to bring another chick in the mix one night because I know you're,
as long as she's a hooker, not anybody we know. She has
to be
like professional.
A random.
Yeah.
Professional or like totally, we met her in Vegas and we're
city.
Never going to see her.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, like if you are letting your girl know she is number one, you're so into her, even if you're lying a little bit sometimes, like you make her feel good, then that means the night you go to the strip club with your boys, she's not freaking the fuck out,
right?
Because she knows,
she feels secure with being like, hey, you want to go see some tits, you want to go have some fun, whatever,
go for it, baby.
Yeah, but I don't feel like, oh god, is he gonna meet a girl and go off with her? You know what I mean? It's just like, and it's the same thing with like women too. It's like, we, you know, yes, we need like reassurance, but it's like men need to know that like we're not controlling them. You know what I mean? If they got to feel free and we have to feel secure, and that's like a weird balance to do. But at the same time, it's like we're women. Men hit on us all the time. We don't want to have to feel like we can't like be nice to someone without you being like, what the fuck? What is that? We want to be able to be like, hey, thank you so much for coming to the show. I really appreciate it.
I love that it came back to the show. You're such a comic brain.
Yeah.
It's all about the audience.
Show. Yeah.
No, but it's true. But it's also like, if you're making your woman feel super special all the time, sometimes it's work, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But it's a choice, right? It's like, if you are, she doesn't have to find another dude to make her feel good about. Because women are all about,
women mentally cheat. Like they'll start flirting with dudes. They'll start like, there's another man who just will start giving her compliments.
Compliments.
Start telling her, we love compliments.
Guys
seriously.
Don't understand how much compliments work.
Means so much.
You don't got to spend money. Don't. I told my friend this. He was like, what should I do for my girl for Valentine's Day? I'm so broke. I go, make like a cute, like picnic-y type thing. Take her to the beach for sunset, but like compliment her so much this week, she feels like a goddess, and then buy a couple of roses. Compliments?
So much.
All we want to know. I fucked guys for compliments.
Yes. All we want to know is why. why you're with us. Like, if you're like, hey, you're such the girl that I'm like, dude, it's so much fun to hang out with. I think like you're great, like to bring around my friends. I love that you love sports. I love that you're a type of girl that when you wake up, I'm like, dude, my chick is
hot. Are you talking about me? Thank you.
Yes. But I'm like, if I was your man, this is what I'd be saying. I'd be like,
for real.
And then you're like, we want to know what it is about us that you chose to date us. And then we want to know like, hey, dude, I see you in my future. Like, you're good. Like, I want to spend more time with you. You don't have to be like, I want to marry you, but just be like, dude.
No, don't say that unless you're really about to propose.
Right. But if you're like, dude, I just see you in my future. Like, that's it. It's like, let us know why you like us.
But mean it.
Yeah.
Don't say future shit because there's nothing worse than a guy that's like, this summer I want to take you to blah, blah, blah. When really in their head, they're like, I want to smash.
I'm going to get rid of you. Yeah.
But yes, I totally agree. Compliments are more important than, listen, you can work at 7-Eleven and drive a piece of shit car and live in your parents' basement. But I promise if you make the girl feel like special. She's the greatest thing that ever walked the earth.
She will take care of you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, men need someone to like hold them down. Like, you want someone to be like, hey man, like I'll fill your gaps. If you're bad at fucking paying your bills or you're bad at like emptying the
dishwasher. No, I'm not paying anyone's bills.
Oh no, not like with my money, but I mean like just reminding you like, hey, this
is
due.
But with my pussy, yeah.
But it's like,
I'll fuck your landlord, bitch.
What?
This is horrible. I love us. All right. We've been at this for over an hour. Wow. My podcast never go this long. No, this is great. Tell me your worst date of all time.
My worst date, my worst like situation with the man of all time or my worst date?
Well, tell me both.
Okay. Because I dated a guy and he was a redhead, which is like, what the fuck, you know? I'm only mad because I got hurt. Okay. Because if you're a redhead and you don't hurt people.
I have a lot of redheads in my family.
Ugh. So I dated this guy. I'm like, ugh, I'm angry. All redheads remind me of orphans, okay?
Because of Annie?
Yes. And because they have like desperate energy.
It's horrible. No, they don't. They do not.
Redheads.
No, you don't. This is in your head.
Only if you dump somebody, I'm mad at you. If you don't dump girls for no reason, I'm fine with it. This redhead, okay? This redhead.
For the record, though, I think redheads are stunning, and most guys want to bang the shit out of redheads.
I have so many redheads in my life. Like, my best friend's a redhead. Like, redheads are in my life.
I
like
you. I think if I ever fucked a redhead,
I did.
I'll think about it.
Go on. Oh, well, I did. So I meet this guy at a pool party, right? And
here in LA,
LA, okay. And we hit it off. Everything's amazing. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, this guy's hilarious. Cause he was.
Was he a comedian?
No.
Okay. Ooh, hilarious, not comedian. Yes. They exist.
They're out there. What?
So it wasn't Andrew Santino. All right, go on.
Meet this guy, everything's great. He tells me, hey, I just got out of a relationship, so I just want to let you know. He's like, but she's moving out, I really like you. And I say, hey man, you just got out of a relationship, like I don't want to start anything, blah blah blah. Okay. But he keeps pushing, right? And I'm like, I'm smitten for this guy.
All at one party? Or is this like this over is the like, course yeah. of time?
So like we talked for like 8 hours at this party. And I'm like,
it's a good party.
Yeah, it's a good party.
That's a lot of drugs at that party.
We were like smoking weed and like drinking. But I'm like, had a great time. He tells me the thing about the relationship. And then I was like, okay, dude, I left. That was it. Then he hits me up on social media. We start hanging out, whatever. Then we're just like, we're just going for it, right? We start hanging out. We start having sex, you know, whatever.
How was the sex?
The sex was good. Yeah.
Okay. So average.
Yeah.
All right. If it's not great, it's average. Like girls, there's no one that, it was awesome. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Decent.
Yeah. And so, because I'm the type of person, I like to have sex more than once a night. And he was just the type of person, he has sex and goes to bed.
Ew.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Right?
I wouldn't even do that if the guy was 80.
And I thought like, I was like, dude, like I'm a treat. I like to have sex more than once.
I'm a treat.
I'm cool.
How old is this guy?
Well, at the time I was 24. 99? He was 27. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
27?
Yeah, I'm telling once you there's night? Something about these runhorns. No. So we start dating. Everything's whatever. So so he tells me, you know, he's done with this girl, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I want to give him a space. I want to give him his time. Like, he just got out of a 6-year relationship, whatever. And then, you know, we're dating, we're hanging out, whatever, but I'm not meeting his friends. I'm not being, I'm not going out on dates.
Hoe.
Yeah. I'm not.
No dates?
No, like, actual real dates. Like, we would go hiking or we go grab sandwiches. We would, you know.
Daytime dates.
Right. Daytime dates. Mm-hmm.
Oh, hell no.
And I was like, okay, like, he's busy. He has, like, a really crazy job, blah, blah, blah.
What was his job?
He was a producer.
So crazy.
Right. And I was like, okay, like, that's fine. He's just busy, blah, blah, blah. And then but it just keeps going back and forth to the point where, and this is like a year of this like back and forth shit. Yeah. And so
you
I'm
really
like,
liked him. That yeah. means you really liked him.
Oh, I was,
even though the sex was average.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I was like, I was pretty much head over heels. I was like, this is the next guy I'm going to fall in love with. Like, he made me laugh like a motherfucker. We had such a great bond, whatever. Or so I thought. And every time I would pull away, he'd be like, no, like, I love you. Don't. And I'm like, okay. And then I would be like,
would he say I love you?
Yeah. And okay. I would be like, okay, he just needs more time. I don't want to be impatient. He just got out of a long relationship. Let me not like put pressure on him. But eventually I ended up being like, I got to move on. I start dating someone else and he's hitting me up the whole entire time being like, oh, come on. And I'm like, no, I eventually break up with this guy. And then
completely.
Yeah. Yep, I break up with the new guy that I was dating.
Oh,
yeah,
and the new guy.
Yeah, so we dated for 8 months. Then okay. Homeboy, I'll just call him Alan.
But wait, so Alan, homeboy, was hitting you up the whole time, the wow. 8 months, mm-hmm. but you never hooked up with him during
nope.
that. Mm-mm. Okay,
and then when I break up with the other guy, we'll call him Chris. Then Alan was like, okay.
"That's probably his real name."
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Is Alan the other guy's real name?
No.
Okay. Let's call it Alan Homeboy. I like that better.
Alan right. Homeboy. All so right. Alan Homeboy, I'm like, he's like, are you still dating that guy? Blah, blah. And I was like, no. And he's like, I'm coming over. We need to talk. And I'm thinking, because it's been like almost a year, you know what I mean, that I was dating the other guy. And I was like, okay, he's had enough time really now, because now it's been 2 years since he's been broken up with that chick.
Right.
1 year that he was dating
allegedly.
Me. Yeah, 1 year yeah. that I was dating Chris. And so I'm like, okay, he probably is finally like, oh my God, it's me and you.
Wait, what was wrong with Chris?
Chris, it was just, he's sweet, but he's Japanese. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
That was so racist. I'm sorry to the Japanese.
I'm totally kidding. No, he's beautiful. No, he was, he's one of the nicest, sweetest kids in the whole entire world, but we were just like,
Japanese? What the fuck?
I'm totally kidding. No, he's half Japanese, half white, so he has like beautiful green eyes. Shout out to you.
Not that there's anything wrong with fully Japanese.
No, I just meant he's just super hot okay. and exotic.
Shout out to Chris.
Yeah, exotic. Shout out to Chris. He was all exotic right. little angel. He was just the sweetest guy in the whole
just
in world.
Work.
Yeah, we just were like, we were both at points in our life where we're like, we try to make it work, but we were just more friends than we were like boyfriend,
it.
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
So okay. anyway, so
Alan, he comes over. Yeah. Alan Homeboy comes
Alan
over.
Alan Homeboy is like, hey, like, we gotta, you know, like, I just need to see you, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, okay. And so I'm like, he wants to get back together. He realizes, like, what he's been missing out on. He's ready to, like, go to the next step, blah, blah, blah. He comes over. We get intimate, you know. We do the thing. And then
does that mean fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so like prude.
I'm like how you're PG-13.
Yeah, I'm like, you're like, you can say rape, but you can't say fuck.
Right. We talked about you being raped at 6, but God forbid. Okay. The thing.
The thing.
All right.
So we're after he's like, let's go grab food. And I'm like, okay. We go grab food. And all of a sudden a woman walks up to me and she goes, hey, Alan, is this your fiance? I haven't met her yet.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, no. He's like, this is my friend Monterey. This is my friend Monterey.
He called you his friend.
Yeah. And I'm like, my heart is like.
When a guy calls you his friend that you're fucking, guys, if you ever do that, you deserve to die. Seriously, even if you're just fucking say, this is Monterey, not my friend. Oh,
right. And I'm like, okay. And I could understand if, like, if she was like, hey, is this your sister? Or, hey, you could be like, this is just my friend because we just reconnected. But she said, is this your fiance? And he's like, no. And so she walks away and I'm like, and I'm trying not to freak the fuck out. I'm like, did she just say fiance? And he's like, and I'm like, we've only been not dating for 8 months. So how did you meet somebody new and propose to them?
And get engaged. Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, I met this girl on set. She's a makeup artist, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I know you. You're depressed. Like, you don't meet people on set. What are you talking about?
Like, you're like, you're a loser.
You hate yourself. What are you talking about? And so I'm like, okay. So I'm like, just drop me off. He calls me and he's like, hey, I'm so sorry. I lied. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, it's my ex.
He's lying.
So the ex that he broke up with, got engaged to. Then I'm with friends one day.
Wait, are they still engaged when you fucked them?
They're married.
I'm so confused.
Oh, yeah.
They were engaged.
Yep. But
did they ever even break up?
That's the whole kicker. So then I'm with a friend one day, a mutual friend, and I'm telling, I didn't know they were friends, whatever, but I find out, whatever. I'm telling the story and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, they broke up and then we start hanging out and then, you know, we stopped hanging out. Then he got engaged and he goes, they never broke up.
Can I just say, I was just going to say, I love your optimism because you're like me, an eternal optimist, like a hopeless romantic that you still in your head somehow were like, but they broke up for a minute. Instead of he's a lying piece of fucking shit.
Yeah, like literally didn't even think like, because I was like, there's no way. Because I went to his house so many times. I'm like, how could you have me at your house after if you were
told
with her?
After he told you they broke up?
Yeah. Oh, for a year. At his house so many times. And I'm like, why? Like, why would you go through the extent of, and I'm like, dude, I've met people who've lied, but eventually tell the truth. They're like, hey, I'm sorry. But I'm like, that you lied for that fucking long. And because it's like him and I are the type of people, it's like, I'm a comic. Like, I talk about anything and everything and everything's an open book.
I know what you're saying.
If you
you're the kind of girl that's like, if you're honest with me, I can work with a million scenarios.
I can work with anything. Yes.
I'm the same way.
And so I was like, that you lied to me. And then I had to find out publicly by some person being like, is this your fiance? And I'm like, I just ate a sandwich, ma'am. What? A fiance? Oh. And I'm like, dude.
I totally get it.
He sunburns. And you're going to do that to me?
He sunburns.
With your red fucking
hair? So this
hair?
Is why you hate redheads. Because he's red. Oh my God, but wait. The comedian I dated for almost a year, who we were technically never boyfriend, girlfriend, but we had parameters, which were, I was like, we were dating. I was like, if you fuck on the road, you fuck a fan, whatever.
Right.
I can deal. I don't need to know. But
yeah.
If you start dating someone else, I want to know.
Right.
And then I found out he had a girlfriend of like 7 years the whole time.
This is a comedian?
Yeah,
who?
And he was a redhead-ish, who? Reddish. I'm not saying on
him. Okay.
But it doesn't really matter because we're all cool now.
Yeah,
I make up with all of them eventually, but like...
That's not...
Not friends, but like it's my way of... I don't want to carry resentment and anger and assume all guys are garbage.
For sure, because they're not. I know literally...
Most are.
Brothers.
Most are. Unless you suck in bed or you're gay.
But I know so many great dudes and I'm like,
do
dude,
you?
Yeah.
Really? Are you sure?
I actually do. Yeah. And I'm like, only because it's like, I feel like I know a lot of men who've been burned by women. I also have brothers and I'm like, I see both sides, but I'm like, men in their 20s, they just don't realize that. I'm like, you could talk to us. And if you feel like you're with a girl that you can't talk to, then it probably shouldn't be someone. And I'm the type of person, I was like, dude, you can talk to me. Like, trust me, you
can
talk
to me. I'm the same. I understand anything. And also, maybe it depends on the girl. I mean, I'm a little weird, I admit. Like, I'm a little probably more open-minded than, like, maybe a 25-year-old in Kentucky or something.
Yeah.
But, like...
A lot more open-minded, yeah.
Well, yes. But so are you.
Right.
But I feel like what I'm trying to say is, like, if you're honest... There's always a woman who can deal with
She'll
any circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, like if the deal is you're like, listen, I really want a relationship. I want to be in love and I want to treat you like a queen, but I also can't imagine fucking one woman forever. So maybe every once in a while, if I meet a stranger who's down to blow me, which if they're not famous is rare.
Yeah.
Like, is it cool?
Or if I just go and get a professional prostitute, like once a year or something.
Once
it's like,
a year?
Yeah.
Or a threesome with boundaries. Right. Like,
but just talk. And it's like, it's because you'd be surprised how many women are like, you know what? I actually enjoy flirting, or I actually enjoy, like, you know, a man whining and dying. It's like, you'd be surprised if you open up that ball of, like, honesty. That
you might be shocked.
Yeah.
She might be excited at the concept of going to a bar and helping flirt with a girl and bring her home, or another dude, or you have no idea.
Right.
Women are freaks too.
Yeah. And we're just like, it's like, tell us the truth. It's like, if you're just like, hey, you know, Patrice O'Neal has a great joke. He's like, I just like to fish. You know what I mean? Like, is it just a fishing thing? Is it just a sex thing? But just let your woman know, like, hey, like, I'm in love with you. You're special to me. I like dating you. But yes, once in a while, it's just fun for me to like explore and just have fun. It's like, you could talk to people. And I'm not saying that.
Flirt.
Yeah.
Flirting is so healthy. Don't ever get mad at your guy if he has a boys' night and he flirts. I'm not saying exchange info and trade texts, but like,
or be like touchy, but you know, you just have like good conversation and it's
he knows he still got it.
Right.
When I was married and I was married for 10 years. I'd go out with my girlfriends and like, I would want to flirt just to feel like I got the experience. Like I still, because a lot of times guys would go, oh, she's the married one and talk to the rest. So when a guy would flirt with me, it just made, it's an ego stroke.
Yeah, you just want to, there's, and people just need to know like what flirting is. Like there's flirting where it's like, set, you're like, ooh, you want to fuck? You're like, no, but like flirting could just be like good conversation. We're having fun. We're just getting to know each other. It's like, it's not, I wouldn't even call that flirting, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like...
Flirting to me means there's, like, sexual context behind it where you're like, ooh, like, what are you doing later? Like, that's flirting true. To me, but, like, just being, like, you know, just having conversation, like, you know what, like, you're a dope girl. Like, yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, to me, that's not flirting. That's being like, hey, you're cool. I'm honoring that. I'm cool. You're honoring that.
And like, honestly, the more cool and chill you are, like, my friend, he got married. He's a hot actor. He got married. He could have any girl he wants. Seriously. Right. He's been married a couple years. He hasn't cheated. And then his wife brought home a girl one night. And they had a threesome.
Hell yeah.
He told me it made him love his wife so much more because she was so cool and it was so hot. And after the chick left, he fucked his wife again.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm even more into her now because she's so dope.
Right.
So it's like, if you give your guy some freedom, they'll actually like you more, not less.
Right.
It's and hard to do.
Yeah,
but
it's hard. And I get it because you feel so possessive when you love a person. You're like, no, this is mine. Because I've been like that. I've definitely been the girl.
Or scared of losing them.
Yeah.
Me
I've
too.
I've definitely been jealous before. I've definitely been like, who the fuck is that? What? Me too. And then I realize I'm like,
why'd you follow that bitch? Yeah, why are you liking her shit?
Yeah. And I'm like, there, it just makes everything worse. And it just makes someone not think you're fun or not cool. And then I have to be like, I'm a hypocrite because there's times where I follow
you do it too.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? You know? And I'm like, why don't we both just be honest about it? Like, yeah, I think this person's hot. They're cool. But like, tell me why you wouldn't want to be in a relationship with them. And then I'm cool.
Yeah, totally. That's, you know, what my friend said to me, my best guy friend who's straight. He said to me, the secret to keeping a man is being his place of peace.
Yeah.
Not his place of stress.
Totally.
The more he feels he can just, you're the place he comes to when he just needs to chill.
Yeah.
The more he loves you.
Absolutely.
You start nagging him or being jealous or being whatever. And I do it. I fucking
We've
do
all,
it.
Every woman has done it.
It's
absolutely.
Hard not to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also don't try to make her, like, don't play a game. Like, don't try to make someone jealous. Just be fucking real. 2021 is the year of fucking real. We went through hell last year. This year, fucking be real because life is short.
Yeah. They and honestly die. Just makes it easier.
Yes.
Just makes it so much easier. Like, I remember the first time I realized how much honesty is so beneficial. There was a girl in high school I called a bitch. And she confronted me and she came up to me and she's like, did you call me a bitch? And I was just like, yeah, I did. And then she was like, well, why'd you call me a bitch? And I'm like, because I think you're a bitch. And it was like, boom, that was the end of it.
And then what?
And then everybody was just like, oh. And I was just like, yeah. And she was like, she had nothing to say. Because it's like, Yeah, I called you a bitch because I think you're a bitch.
It's real, though. It's like Jill Kimmel. Do you know Jill?
Yeah, that sounds very familiar. Yeah.
She's a comedian. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. Hell yeah. I fucking love this bitch. Yes. But she posted something the other day and she was like, enough with saying excuses for why you don't want to do something. If someone says, do you want to do X, Y, Z, and you don't, just say, no, thanks, I don't want to.
Yeah.
So the other day, this guy hit me up to do some comedy show that sounded awful.
Right.
It was like Midnight in a Mansion. You're not getting paid. But these famous people did it last week. And I wrote back, yeah, no, thanks. I don't feel like working for free.
Yeah.
Normally, I would have been like, oh, I have blah, blah, blah next week. Thanks for thinking of me. I was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell the truth. And it felt so good.
Yeah.
And it wasn't mean, but it's like, hey, why would I work for free?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Honesty is the best policy.
This is
truly the
longest episode of Date Fails. Yeah, yeah. Why are you sorry?
I was like, I feel bad. I was like,
no, don't feel bad. It's great. I mean, that's like organic.
Yeah.
Doing it. All right. Well, you didn't even get to tell a worst date story because you told a whole bad fucking relationship, which I'm totally cool. Yeah. Do you have a terrible short sex or dating story?
I have a short story of one time I went out with a man who kept pretending to be Batman during my date.
What?
He kept telling me that he was like an extra or like a voiceover or something to do with Batman. And he was like, yeah, he's like, I was a stand-in for, I don't know if it was Christian Bale or whatever Batman he was a part of. And I was like, oh, that's cool, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, and then he would just be like, so what do you want to get next?
No.
And I was like, no, I heard you say the Batman thing. You don't got to prove it to me.
He was doing the voice?
Yeah, he was doing the voice.
Was he hot?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but not, no.
Only excuse. A hot guy would think you could even maybe get away with that. Could you imagine a fat, ugly guy being like, no.
But then what? He kept moving closer and he'd just be like, so we would be talking about something else. And I'm like, yeah, like I feel like, you know, when I was younger, blah, blah. And he's like, yes. So when I was, and I was like, oh, you don't. Okay. Like I got you do the impression. Like you don't have to keep doing it. Then we got in a fight about politics, as one does.
Oh, Christ. Don't talk about that on a date.
Yeah.
Dating rule number one.
It was him just being super, like, offended about something. I'm like, dude, it's a joke. It was, like, a thing like that. And then after, so I was getting an Uber, and then, and we're, like, in front of, like, a wine bar, and there was, like, a little, like, alley, like, right next to it. And so he's, like, gently pushing me into the alley and, like, doing the impression. He's like, so before your Uber comes, can I get one more kiss? And I was like,
one more? You kissed him?
No. Well, I gave him a pack. I'm sorry.
There's no, by the way, there's no gently pushing someone into an alley. Just don't push people into alleys. On
he thought he was like
he thought he was Batman.
Yeah, he thought he was like doing a scene, and I could tell that. I'm like, this probably has.
Oh my god! This is why you don't date in LA.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
How comfortable he was doing it. I was like, this has worked for you before. Like, this is not a man who this hasn't worked with, because he was very comfortable to keep doing it. So I was like, this has been something that has gotten you, you know, what you wanted. Yeah.
Pretending to be Batman
consistently throughout the night.
I would love if he would have been like, can I take you to my bat cave? Show you.
I would have cried. I would have been tools. Like,
I would have been like, yes.
Yeah.
Just to
I'd rather get raped again, honestly.
Okay. Well, you might have got raped in the bat cave, but Christian Bale's stand-in, which probably looks a lot like Christian Bale.
Yeah. I mean, he was very dreamy, but I was like, dude, the fact that you believe in your impersonation so much to a stranger is a type of confidence that I'm like, it really could be blessed on a lot of, you know,
he probably rode home on a skateboard or walked. That guy didn't even have money for Uber, yeah. Probably. Did he buy you a meal?
We just had wine.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Once a guy split a Diet Coke with me.
Excuse me.
Yeah, for real. He said, actually, I'll never forget. I ordered a vodka diet, and he ordered a half Diet Coke, half Coke. And then when the check came, he said, can I split the vodka diet with you? I'm short on cash. And he was an actor. So that's what happens when you date actors who aren't famous. And yeah,
I would just be like, dude, let's go for a hike. If you know what I mean? Like, let's just
for
go
real,
for a
you
hike.
Don't need money.
You don't need money. Let's just go for a hike.
That is the hugest misconception with men, I think.
You don't need money.
You really don't. You need compliments.
Do the thing that involves no money.
Learn to you. Okay, you have to, if you suck in bed and you have no personality, you need money.
Yeah.
But if you're cool and you give her compliments, you make her feel good and you're
and
good
you
in bed.
Listen and you listen, have your own shit going on.
Actually care.
Yeah.
We don't care if you're rich.
I've dated
such broke guys. I had a guy living on my couch practically. He was basically homeless, but he was amazing in bed and he made me feel great.
My boyfriend's broke now. His account is -5,000 because he got scammed.
So hot.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend's hot and cool and I love him and he's funny and you're doing great.
Yes.
I didn't know. She rolled up tonight. She's like, my boyfriend's dropping me off. And I know her boyfriend.
Yeah.
When I saw him, I was like, oh my God.
Hell yeah.
So you're killing it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. I called you Monterey. It's Monterey.
I don't ever care. Yeah.
Well, we met only once.
And
in
we were
person.
Drunk. Yeah.
Well, again.
Well, at least I was. I was like, oh,
yeah, we were drunk. Yeah. But okay, Monterey, I'm so sorry.
Oh my God.
So tell them what to do to follow you and find you. And
yes, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Monterey M. That's Monarey. And you can also listen to The Shamik. It's on Apple. It's on Spotify.
It's on Apple.
Yeah, it's called Apple Podcasts now. That's no iTunes anymore.
Is that, I didn't know that. Oh, like Apple Music and Apple.
Yes.
See, I'm not an iPhoner, so.
Yeah. I didn't know that either because I kept seeing people be like, Apple. And I was like, just say iTunes. And they're like, there is no more iTunes. I was like, oh, so you got an attitude now. Oh,
that's
okay.
Hilarious. So it's on everything, basically.
Yeah. It's on YouTube, everything. Spotify, Apple.
That's great. You're on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Spotify, I feel like, is the fastest growing.
Hell yeah.
Thing. So thank you, Joe Rogan.
The Shamik. Yes. Thank you, Joe Rogan.
The Shamik. All right, I'm gonna check it out. Do you have guests?
I don't yet, but I want to. But
oh my God, I
want to
do it. Can
yes.
I do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
I want to come get like my cards read or
yeah.
Some.
Oh my God, I read
thing.
Tarot. Yes, absolutely.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, guys. This has been Date Fails. I'm trying to think if I have anything else to promote. I'm on the Donnell Rawlings show again.
Ooh,
that's a whole thing. But
you gotta
listen to Donnell's show for that. Yeah. Listen to Donnell's show for that. And then also, I'll be in Alaska March 5th and 6th playing two different clubs. So check that out if you happen to live in Alaska, which I
hell
doubt.
Yeah.
And other than that, I just started an OnlyFans.
Woo!
Yeah! My OnlyFans has no naked photos, but I'm basically just making my Instagram more comedy and putting like my stuff that gets flagged or stuff that like, you know, people shit on like, oh, you shouldn't do that because you're funny on an OnlyFans and also behind the scenes stuff. So if you want to sign up for that, you can.
Hell yeah.
That's it. I love you guys so much. This has been Date Fails. I'm happy. Woo! Woo! Bye.